Mark chapter 10, if you want to find your place there. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to read just a few verses tonight. Give you just a moment to turn there. Good to have our college students back. We miss them when they're not here during the summer, but time flies. Bible Institute started back last Thursday night, and we had four new students just in class, so that was a blessing. So we had some go out, had some come in, so that's always good. It's always good to see people start, so I know the students would appreciate your prayers as well. Mark chapter 10, verse 32 through verse number 34. We're going to read those verses. That's what we're going to deal with tonight. Mark chapter 10, verse number 32. The Bible said, "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto them, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again." Now, probably you remember back in the spring, we were in Mark chapter number 8, and we first came across where the ministry had there was a definite change in the emphasis of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was back in Mark chapter 8, verse number 31. And that was just after Peter's great confession of faith that we studied about there. And whom say men that I am? But in verse number 30, the Bible said, "And he charged them that they should tell no man of him." That Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." Peter said, "You're the Messiah." That's what we believe. But in verse number 31, the emphasis of the ministry of Christ began to change. And the Bible said, chapter 8, verse 31, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." And so he began to teach them the truth of the gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing that first of all in chapter 8, verse number 31. So this might just at first glance seem like, well, it's just a repeat of what he's already said. And he's began to teach them these truths. And it is a repeat. It's going over and it's saying the same thing that he's already said is going to happen. But you've got to realize it's the gospel message. And if there's any message that is worth repeating, it's the gospel message. The message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have all those things taught here, especially in verse number 33 and verse number 34. And if we were to take time, we could go over this passage of Scripture. Is also found in the book of Matthew, chapter number 20, beginning at verse number 17 through 19. And it is also found in Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 33. So you have this same passage in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But there is something that is in the book of Mark that is not in Matthew, and it is not in the book of Luke. And what that is, we're going to read here in verse number 32. It said, And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And this is not in Matthew, and it's not in Luke. It said, "And they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid." That's not in the book of Matthew. It's not in the book of Luke. But Mark records here that as they followed the Lord Jesus, they were amazed, which means that they were astonished. And that word's also used when the disciples were out on the sea and Jesus came walking on the water and they were amazed. Well, you'd be amazed and frightened as well. And so that's the way that is used here. And it said they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And I just kept looking and thinking about that and pondering on them being afraid. And that's what I want to dwell on tonight or look at tonight. Maybe just look at this a little differently than we would otherwise. But I want to give this a title, or if we were going to say the lesson in this, I want to preach or teach tonight on the subject of dealing with fear. How did the Lord Jesus Christ deal with fear in the disciples' lives? As they followed Him, they were afraid, the Bible said. How did the Lord deal with that? Fear is something that all of us say experience from time to time. It's something that we all know what that emotion is like. And whether we admit it or not, there's times in our lives where we've all been afraid. The Bible says a lot about fear and about being afraid. 400 times in the King James Bible, you find the word fear. A lot of times it's like this, fear not. The Lord doesn't want us to go through life with fear. The word afraid is found in the Bible 193 times. And then there's a lot of other words that are along the same lines with fear and being afraid. The first time the word afraid is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 10. And it's where Adam and Eve had sinned, and the Lord came into the garden in the day there. And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked. That's the first time that you find the word afraid. Sin makes you afraid. And Adam and Eve, they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know what the Lord was going to do. And here in Mark chapter number 10, fear was present because of anticipation of expected evil. That's one of the definitions of what it means to be afraid. Anticipation of expected evil. The disciples, they didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring. And although they were following the Lord Jesus Christ, they were afraid. They didn't know what was going to happen. Just like Adam and Eve didn't know what was going to happen when the Lord came. Was He going to kill them? Was He going to yell at them? What was He going to do? They didn't know. And so when Adam heard the Lord's voice, he was afraid. And the disciples here, they were afraid. They didn't know what was really going to happen, although the Lord had told them and told them and told them exactly what was going to happen. But how is this all going to work out? How's it going to affect them? Anticipation of an expected evil. Something bad is going to happen. Fear can be apprehension, anxiety, dread of something. When you dread something, it causes you to fear in your heart. You don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of things that we go through in our lives that we just dread. We dread it because we don't know what the outcome is going to be. And that could be anything from a new job, new school, doctor's appointment. You know, don't know what's going to happen. We don't know nationally a lot of times what's going to happen. Fear can be broken down into a lot of different definitions and ways to think about it. I'm going to give you four just quickly. When we think about fear, there's imaginary fear. Now, a lot of times as a child or even as an adult, you're afraid of things that are actually not even there. They're just imaginary. Have any of you parents ever had to go into your child's bedroom at night and look under the bed and make sure there weren't any monsters under there? And you knew there weren't any monsters under there, but just to make them feel better, you know, you just sort of go through the room, run all the boogers out and everything, make sure and say, all right, it's all clear. You don't have to be afraid. Well, that's just imaginary. Have you ever been at home at night and you heard something, you didn't know what it was, you thought, man, that's somebody. Somebody's outside, and you got all afraid, and you've got to looking around. I've done that before, and the wind blew the broom over on the back porch. Thought somebody's trying to get in the house, you know. That's imaginary fear. That wasn't even real. That wasn't anything to be afraid about. And a lot of things that we're afraid of are just really, they're imaginary. We're just worrying about nothing. And so that's one way that fear affects us. Then there is a real fear. Sometimes there's There's a reason to be afraid, or there's a reason to be fearful. Real fear. Last week I was mowing at the house, and there's one bush I was getting ready to go around, and I noticed there's a bare spot in the ground. And as I got close to it, I recognized what that is. That's a hornet's nest. And so what I did, I didn't mow over that hornet's nest. I just backed up and I made a big old path around it. And I thought, about dark, I'll go back and I'll spray them and I'll kill them. And of course, you know what happened. I forgot. And I forgot one day and I forgot 2 days and I forgot 3 days. And we were out, me and Kim and Chloe, and we were walking up and down the road, and she ran up in the yard around that bush. And as soon as she got near it, I said, "Stop, stop, stop, stop right there. Don't go any further." And what'd she do? She ran right across it. And boy, my heart just jumped. I knew she was going to get eat up with hornets. Well, I killed those hornets that night. But that was a real fear. I was really, really afraid. And there was a real danger there. She could have got stung. Well, she didn't. And I praise the Lord for that. But sometimes there's things that are a very real danger. So there's imaginary fear, there's real fear, there's present fear, there's something right now maybe that is worth being afraid of. Have you ever been chased by a dog you thought was going to bite you? That's a very present fear. You can run faster and jump higher than you thought you could if a dog or a bee gets after you. So that's a present danger. God made us, He created us. It's called fear and flight. And so to preserve ourselves, to preserve our safety sometimes. And it's even scientifically proven, you know, if you get afraid, you get, what is that, adrenaline? And people have been able to lift things that otherwise they wouldn't be able to lift, and run faster and react quicker than they wouldn't otherwise. God put within us, sometimes there's a healthy fear that might save you from being in danger even further. So sometimes there's a present fear, and sometimes fear can be a good thing, but that's not what we're dealing with tonight. Then there is, last of all, there's potential fear. And this is what bothers us so many times, is a potential fear. That is what we have right here in Mark chapter number 10. There's a fear of the unknown. They just didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know what all that meant when the Lord talked about going to Jerusalem and the chief priest and the scribes, and they were going to condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. That was something that they just could not. I mean, the Lord came and he's talking about a kingdom. He's offering them the kingdom. But then he's all this talk about dying. And all this talk about when they go to Jerusalem, this and this and this is going to happen. How are they going to satisfy all those things? I thought he's talking about being the king. He's the Messiah. But he's talking about going up to Jerusalem and he's going to die and it's going to be a horrible death. And they could not comprehend in their minds and they were afraid. There's potential fear. They're following him. They're associated with him. They don't know what the future, they don't know what tomorrow holds. A lot of times we wonder what's going to happen to us. And so here in verse number 32, the Bible said, "And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid." It's interesting to me that the Bible says, "As they followed, they were afraid." There has been times in my Christian life when I was not following the Lord. I was out of the Lord's will. But I wasn't afraid. But they were in the Lord's will. He went before them and they were following after him. And as they followed after the Lord, they were afraid. Do you know, sometimes as you're following the Lord, you're still afraid. They were following. The Lord hadn't gone around the bend. He hadn't gone over the mountain and got out of their sight. He, the Bible said, had gone before them. He was right there in front of them. They knew where the Lord was. And as they followed the Lord, they were afraid. And sometimes as we follow the Lord, we can have fear come into our hearts and into our lives, just like the disciples here. And I'm sure that the disciples discerned that something was different. Something was causing them to be anxious. Something was causing them to be worried. Something was causing them to have anxiety, just probably just in the actions of the Lord. He had set his face as a stone to go to Jerusalem. He had made up his mind, and here he goes. He's leading the way. As they followed him, they were afraid. But I like this. The Lord was aware of their fear. And when the Lord was aware of their fear, he took them to the side and he dealt with their fear. How does the Lord deal? How are we to deal with fear in our lives? It's not God's will for us to go through life being afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God doesn't want you to go through life being afraid all the time. Being afraid of the unknown, being afraid of what's going to happen. So he stopped them. That's what the Bible says. And he took, in the last part of verse 32, "And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto them," dealing with fear. How did he deal with fear? Number one, he dealt with fear in a sovereign way. Now the word sovereign, it means supreme in power. It means possessing supreme dominion as the supreme ruler of the universe. And the Lord Jesus took them in the last part of verse number 32, and he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. He's the sovereign. He's the Lord. He knew what was going to happen. That's how come he could deal with it in a sovereign way. He knew the disciples. He knew they were afraid. He knows what things should happen. We don't know what's going to happen, but I'm glad tonight that there's somebody that does know what's going to happen. And he took them aside and he began to show them again what things should happen. This is what's going to happen. He's the Lord. He knows tomorrow. He knows what is across the horizon. And he's leading the way. Now we can look at this and we say, they're silly. They shouldn't be afraid. But the Lord leads us just like he led them, but we get afraid. So we can't throw stones at the disciples unless we can say, "Well, I've never been afraid of nothing." We get afraid of things. But the Lord was leading them, leading the way. It's one thing for me to say to somebody, "Now, don't be afraid that this is probably what's going to happen." I don't know what's going to happen. But the Lord knew exactly what was going to happen, and so he began to tell them the things that should happen. It's one thing for Moses to tell Joshua, "Now, Joshua, it's going to be all right. Don't be afraid." But have you ever read in the book of Joshua how that evidently Joshua was afraid? And I was looking back over that today in Joshua chapter 1 and verses 8 and verse number 9. And I looked at this again. Joshua chapter 1. Now, Moses is dead. And it's all... everything's on Joshua's shoulders now. But the Bible said in Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 that the Lord said, "Have not I commanded thee?" That's the Lord. Have not I. That's the great I am. God said, "Have not I commanded thee?" Question mark. "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Joshua, you don't have to be afraid. Wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. And has the Lord Jesus not made the same promise unto us? "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's what it says in the end of the book of Matthew. That's what he said unto us. He'd always be with us. He'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. Joshua shouldn't have been afraid. The Lord said he'd go with him everywhere he went. You and I shouldn't be afraid. The sovereign God of the universe has made a promise unto us that he'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. It'd be all right. He dealt with them. He dealt with fear in a sovereign way. Second of all, in Mark chapter number 10, he dealt with fear in a straightforward way. Now, in verse number 33 again, what does the Bible say? Saying, this is what the Lord told him again, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. But I tell you, there's nothing watered down there. He didn't try to sugarcoat it. He didn't try to make it better than it was. There was nothing that he tried to suppress there. I believe a lot of times people get disheartened after they get saved, and all their problems do not just magically melt away and everything become just best it ever was. That's not how life it is. You know, in my imaginary world, and it's a good thing I'm not the Lord, and it's a good thing you're not the Lord. But in my way of thinking, you know, all the good things should happen to God's people. And all the bad things should happen to the devil's people. Let them be the ones to get sick. Let them be the ones to have a car wreck. Let them be the ones that they have trouble in their family. And then all of us, why, we'd all be millionaires, wouldn't we? We'd all have just the best business and stroke of luck and health, and you know, just it'd always be the sun shining at our house and always be flooding down at their house. That's the way we think of it, but you know what? That's not the way it is. In fact, after somebody gets saved, it might be that their life might get harder than it was before. They might find out they have trouble now that they never had or thought about before. That's how life is in reality. If you think back in chapter 10, verse number 21, this rich young ruler, what the Lord Jesus said unto him, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. Now, if that rich young ruler would have taken the Lord's advice, he'd have been poor instead of rich. He wouldn't have been near as popular as he was when he was rich. And most of the people that knew him would have talked about him behind his back, and they'd have said, I think that fella's lost his mind. Did you hear what he did? He sold all the things he had. He gave it away to the poor, and he went and took up his cross, and he's following after Jesus Christ. Man, that guy's crazy. Of course, he didn't listen to what the Lord said. He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And we talked about that. His life, if he had listened to the Lord. You see, the Lord Jesus said, come, take up the cross. A cross is, that's for dying on. That's what he told. He's just very straightforward. Fear is best dealt with straightforward. And that's how the Lord dealt with the disciples. He said, look, this is where we're going. This is what's going to happen. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't say, you know, everything's going to be grand and wonderful and nothing bad or is going to ever happen to us. The Lord's not made anybody a promise like that. Life is hard. That's just the way it is. I didn't ask Abigail if I could use her as an illustration tonight, but I never have before, so I won't start now. But she started school, cosmetology school. And we told her it's going to be hard. Has it been hard so far? This is not a bed of roses, not the easiest thing yet. Man, it's going to be hard. Anything you do in this life, it's going to be hard. You're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to want it. You're going to have to go after it. You're going to have to do it when you feel like it. When you don't feel like it, that's just the way life is, straightforward. How do we deal with fear? Best way to deal with it is just be straightforward. And that's how the Lord dealt with fear in the lives of the disciples. He dealt with, number three, he dealt with fear in a scriptural way. Now, Luke chapter 18, verse 31 says this, "Then he took unto them the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." What Jesus said to the disciples was this. He said, everything in the Old Testament about the Son of Man that's written about the Son of Man is going to be accomplished at Jerusalem. He referred back to the Bible, Psalms chapter 22, Psalms chapter 69, Isaiah chapter 52 and 53 and 56, and Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2, and on and on and on. He referred them back to the Scriptures. He referred them back to the Bible when he said, all things that are written of the prophets concerning the Son of Man is going to take place at Jerusalem. Look over in your Bibles in 2 Timothy chapter 3. These days that we're living in, I keep your place in Mark, but the day in which we're living in, these are some days we're living in, isn't it? I mean, who would have thought 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that we would be where we are today morally, spiritually, economically? George Bush put us into the trillions, being in debt. Obama's put us into 18 trillion. I mean, our country is so in debt economically, I don't know that we could ever dig out of it. The Bible says to be the borrower and not the lender makes a nation or a person a servant. And we're living in, the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." We're living in perilous times. We're living in times exactly described in this passage of Scripture. Verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." You heard all this on the news about Planned Parenthood and how they've been selling baby parts. That's so wicked and ungodly. Without natural affection, that mothers would... You see where we're at. People love animals more than they love children. We're living in perilous times. Verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." There's plenty of church. There's plenty of religion. Paul said, "From such turn away." Look down in verse, and there's all kinds of things here. Look down in verse number 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Should we be surprised if it comes, when it comes? Verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Should we be surprised or fearful concerning what we see going on in America? Shouldn't we acknowledge that, you know, that's what the Bible said the last days are going to be like? It shouldn't cause us to be afraid, because we look around and see what is happening is exactly what the Lord said was going to happen in the last days. So we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be amazed at it. We should say, that's what the Bible said was going to happen. But you know, there's a lot of people in our country that have the idea, boy, if we could just elect Ben Carson or some Christian to be the president, man, we could have... The Bible doesn't say anything about that. Isn't it sort of delusional to think, you know, well, can we in America continue to do things so wrong and somehow God continue to bless and revive? And that's not what the Bible said. The Bible says, see, we're living in perilous times, but we don't have to be afraid of it because the Lord said that's the way it's going to be. The Lord said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It ought to encourage us. We know we are living in the last days. It ought to encourage us. It ought to excite us. But if we would just stay in the book, if we would just stay in the Bible and we would read and believe what the Word of God says, there'd be no reason for us to be amazed. Like they were amazed, they were astonished as they followed the Lord Jesus. I can't believe this. I can't believe He's really going up to Jerusalem. They shouldn't have been afraid. They shouldn't have been amazed at that. He had told them already. We look out, we shouldn't be amazed. We shouldn't be afraid. We know. We know according to the Bible, if we just stay in the book, He had already told them what was going to happen. You know what? Tonight, He's already told us what is going to happen. We don't have to be afraid of it. We might be concerned. It might grieve us. We certainly pray about it. We try to be light and salt and hold forth the word of life. But we don't have to be afraid of it. The Lord has told us already that's the way it's going to be. And so He dealt with it in a scriptural way. That's the best way to deal with anything. What does the Bible say? Number four, He dealt with it in a simple way. In a simple way. There's no simpler way than to say it than what He said in verse 33 and 34. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock Him and shall scourge Him and shall spit upon Him and shall kill Him. And the third day He shall rise again. He dealt with fear in a simple as a way that He could. You can't make it any simpler or more condensed than that. Now there's a lot in there. There's probably 20 or more references to the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus could have went back to Isaiah and Psalms 22 and Zechariah and Jeremiah. He could have went to all these places, but He didn't do that. And I believe one of the reasons He didn't do that is because when we are afraid, we don't think right. We don't hear right. We don't hear. When you're really afraid and you've imagined that somebody's breaking in the back door, you might not hear your wife say, that's just a broom that fell over. You've got that in your mind. You don't hear right. You don't think right when you're afraid. Fear paralyzes us. Fear makes us where we don't react right. And when someone is afraid, that's not the time to give long, complicated talks to them because they're afraid. They're not going to listen anyway. They can't listen but just a very short few seconds. And the Lord just took them aside and in a very simple way, He explained to them what was going to happen. Before I went into basic training, and I don't know if anybody has ever went into basic training and said they're not afraid, I'd just about say they're lying. I mean, they tell you all kinds of stories, what they're going to do to you, and rumors running wild, and I mean, it's just, and so before I went in, I was afraid, and I was talking with Dad. Dad was talking to me about it, and he didn't give me big, long speeches about anything, but I just remember he told me this. He said, when millions of men have gone through basic training and been fine. You will go through and be fine too. If I done it, and your grandpa done it, and your uncles have done it, you'll do it, and you'll be all right. Is that profound or what? I'm telling you, that really helped me. I was afraid, but I thought, you know, that's right. If Dad can do it, if my grandpa can do this, I can do this. It'll be all right. This short little simple thing just to help me through that. And so when Kim had her first baby, I tried the same thing on her. I said, Kim, there ain't nothing to be afraid of. Think of all the women, and they didn't even go to a hospital. Man, they was born at home and everything else. Piece of cake. It's not a piece of cake. But I don't know if it helped her, but it helped me. This, he dealt with it in a very simple way. Sometimes we just need the simple word. All right, this is the way it's going to be. And if we can get our minds around that. Last of all tonight, he dealt with it in a satisfactory way. Verse number 34, and they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now, when the Lord Jesus dealt with their fear, he did not leave out anything bad. He told them all of it. They're going to mock me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to scourge me. They're going to condemn me. They're going to turn me over to the Gentiles, and they're going to kill me. But he didn't leave out the good part either. He said, but on the third day, I'll rise again. He dealt with it in a very satisfactory way. The third day he shall rise again. That's the part I've got underlined in my Bible. Listen, no matter what it is, no matter what it is in our lives as Christians, if we have the Lord on our side, ultimately in the big picture, it's going to be okay. A lot of times we say that just as a blanket recipe for somebody that's afraid. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. But if you're a child of God, it is going to be okay. One way or the other, it's going to be okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they's down there in a heathen land, and old King Nebuchadnezzar made the big idol. And he said, everybody's going to bow down, and we're all going to worship the same God. And we're going to listen to the same music. And everybody at my command is going to bow down and worship. And if you don't, you're going to burn. We'll throw you in the burning fiery furnace. You're going to bow or you're going to burn. Now that's bad news if you're not going to bow. But really, the most that Nebuchadnezzar could threaten them with was going to heaven. Yeah, if they'd have died, they'd have died. But a child of God, what's the worst that can happen? Go to heaven. It'd be all right. Might be a hard road getting there, but for a child of God, there's a rising again. For a child of God, it's not the end. It's just the beginning of an eternity. It might not be a pretty sight. Jesus told the disciples that they and shall kill him. That's what Jesus said. And it wouldn't be pretty the way it would happen. But, the Bible says, and the third day he shall rise again. Amen. He was letting them know it's going to be all right. You might be afraid now, but the third day it's going to be all right. He shall rise again. He dealt with it in a satisfactory way. And so we think about dealing with fear. And a lot of times we have to deal with it in our own lives or maybe help somebody in their life. There's some principles to think about when dealing with fear. And so I appreciate your good attention tonight. I hope that'll be a help to somebody.